Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 22nd, 2012 Harbor Board of Aldermen meeting. This is a public hearing meeting, so we do not normally take petitions from the public on these nights, on at least not on matters that are other than on the agenda. All right, so I believe that brings us directly to item A1, public hearing on Safe Routes to School Action Plan. Mr. Manager.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Jeff Brubaker will present the staff report for the Safe Routes to School Action Plan.
Thank you. This is the opportunity for a public comment on the Safe Routes to School Action Plan. This is an action plan that's been in development since 2008 when the service award was awarded by NCDOT. And over the last couple of years, we've really had a dynamic and comprehensive process for developing Safe Routes to School recommendations. I'm proud tonight to present the plan to the board. So the purpose of the Safe Routes to School program is threefold. One, it's to encourage kids to walk and bike to school, including kids with disabilities, to make walking and bicycling safer and more appealing, and to implement projects that will improve safety, reduce traffic, fuel consumption, and air pollution around schools. There's several benefits of walking and bicycling to school. I don't think these need to necessarily be articulated. A lot of them are self-evident, but certainly, physical activity benefits, and then the potential benefits of physical activity on school performance, as well as potential effect on transportation service costs to the school district. So where are we at today in terms of walking and biking to school in Carrboro, at least for the two schools that are included in the action plan, which I'll talk more about later? First school included is Carrboro Elementary, and what this chart shows right here is percentage of kids who walk and bike to school. Each set of columns represents a different count period from spring of 2009 to fall of 2011. And these horizontal blue and red bars represent the national average. So the national average is about 13 to 16% of kids walk to school, and the national average is about 2% of kids bike to school. So you can see right here in Carrboro Elementary, depending on the time of year, they range from about 6 to 10% of kids walking to school, and anywhere from very few in the winter time to about 4% of kids cycling to school, although I will have more good news on that later. And this is McDougal Elementary. You can see the same national averages here. And McDougal's about 6 to 12% walking to school, at least for the times that we measured, and they're about 2 to 7% biking to school. So McDougal is above average in terms of kids who bike to school. And I know that there is strong programs among some parents to bike their kids to school. I've heard that there's a bike train that goes to school where several kids bike together to school. So that's kind of cool. So this describes the action plan process. We started with a kickoff meeting in 2009. And we got together what we called the Action Plan Team. The Action Plan Team was a steering committee composed of the principals from the two schools, staff from the two schools, faculty, parents, Transportation Advisory Board member, and then staff from the planning department of the town, the police department, the fire department, and the Rec and Parks Department. So we really had a diverse group came together, and it also included staff from the school district as well, transportation staff, came together and established a vision and goals for the action plan in 2009. We were working with consultants who were paid by the service award that we received, to provide free technical assistance to the town. Following the kickoff meeting and the setting of vision and goals, consultants went out and they did data collection. So the town and consultants worked together to, and the schools as well, worked together to collect student travel tallies and parent surveys, which informed some of the data that we saw before. And then there were also field visits to the schools so that we could kind of ground truth conditions and what conditions were encouraging and discouraging for kids to walk to school. So we found out, the types of information we found out were really valuable, and this is kind of just one of the bits of information that we found out from the parent surveys. These are the top five issues cited by parents for why their child does not walk or bike to school. Traffic volume, traffic speed, safety of intersections or crossings, distance, and lack of sidewalks or pathways. So that really gives a good idea of where to focus our attention if we want to have more parents feeling more comfortable about their children walking and biking to school. So we also got parent feedback in terms of write-in answers, and this was really helpful because a lot of parents identified particular intersections and particular road segments that they had particular concerns about or reasons why their kid thinks it's fun to walk and bike to school. Like Mr. James, the crossing guard at McDougal, kids love him, and you know that's a fun part of walking to school. Sometimes she enjoys walking or biking, other days she complains about it. We already have to drive to preschool, so it's easier to drop off. We need sidewalks on Old Fayetteville Road. Comments like that were really helpful in focusing where we would target our recommendations for improvements. So that was followed by a Barriers and Solutions public meeting at Carborough Elementary, which had about 50 attendees. It was well attended, and we got really good recommendations. We sent out a newsletter concurrent with the advertisement for the meeting, and you know we got parents and kids even in the room to look over maps, and you know this is a very typical planning exercise: look over maps and write comments on the maps where they felt there could be improvements. So the consultant took all that information and then compiled it into the draft action plan that you see on the town's webpage and that you should have a CD of as well. And then we got together the action plan team again, who reviewed the recommendations in the plan and at McDougal School. And then the plan was also presented at McDougal Elementary's Fall Festival. So there was, even after the draft plan was completed, there was immediate feedback on the recommendations. And the final draft was then completed, taking into account the client review meeting, and it's based on the five E's, just like the Carborough Bike Plan: engineering, encouragement, education, evaluation, and enforcement, recognizing that no one of these alone will lead to the vision and goals that were established in the plan. So I should say at this point, this is when you all heard about the plan last, which was February of 2011. And from there, the board directed that the plan basically go on tour, so get presented to McDougal PTA, Carborough PTA, and the Board of Education for further review. And the plan was presented to McDougal PTA in February of this year and presented to the Board of Education in April of this year. Also, the plan was emailed to the Carborough PTA members. No feedback was received at this time. So what is actually in the plan? I don't have time to go through every recommendation, although I'd be happy to take questions about particular locations if there are any questions. First and foremost, the plan has recommendations for engineering improvements to make the actual physical environment safer for kids walking and biking to school. So this includes new sidewalks, new multi-use paths, and repaired multi-use paths, such as the multi-use path at the end of Quail Roost Drive, and new bike lanes. It also recommends crosswalk improvements, median refuge islands, and signals such as hawk signals, which I know you've heard about before. And then it recommends on-campus improvements that would be the likely be the jurisdiction of the school district, such as covered bike parking and pavement marking upgrades to make crosswalks where kids are crossing in the parking lots of the two schools more visible. Mm-hmm. And then it also recommends traffic calming. So refuge islands, which serve both as pedestrian safety measures and traffic calming measures, curb extensions, chicanes or speed tables, and the Main Street Road Diet, which you're familiar with through the town's separate process for that project. So that's the engineering side. There are also chapters in the plan on policies and programs. And the main policy recommendations for the town of Carrboro included in the plan include adopting a complete streets policy. Now, the town has had, the town's land use ordinance basically has a complete streets-like set of recommendations for our roads, but the plan felt that it could be bolstered by a more cohesive complete streets policy. It also recommended exploration of whether a portion of traffic fines in school zones could be directed for safe routes to school programs and infrastructure. And then it also recommended enhancing the sidewalk policy and to require that more arterials have sidewalks on both sides of the road. A lot of arterials in the sidewalk policy, which was adopted in 1989, only require sidewalk on one side of the road. And then it also recommends top priority programs such as education, so integrate bike ped education into the school day. Some of this is, of course, already being done by the schools, so the recommendation is to continue and strengthen those efforts. And then a comprehensive walk and bike to school campaign. You can see here the positive media attention that McDougal Elementary got from the newspaper when they had walk to school day in October of 2010. So more about walk and bike to school days. The plan recommends continuing to hold these with a separate Safe Routes to School grant. The town has been very fortunate to work with Carrboro Elementary to hold encouragement events. That was what the bike safety rodeo was about. To work with other stakeholders and businesses in the community to hold critical mass events. And bike fix-it days, and of course walk and bike to school days. And I'm proud to say that in October of 2011, there were 33% of all kids at Carrboro Elementary either walked or biked to school. So that alone was higher than one of the main goals of the action plan, which was by 2015 to get 25% of kids walking and biking to school. So for this one day, we were at 33%, and you can see right here the bike rack is, can't even see the bike rack because it's covered in bikes. And this is a new bike rack that was recently donated to the school by a parent who heard about the need for a bike rack at Carrboro at our bike safety rodeo. And that bike rack is just in time because it's also covered in bikes. So. You know, this shows the power of what encouragement activities and walk and bike to school days can do. Walking school buses are very important. Parents may say, well, you know, I'd love to have my kid walk and bike to school, but I don't want them to do it alone. Walking school buses is a way for kids to do it in groups and for the chaperoning responsibility to be shared amongst, amongst parents in the neighborhood. So that was popular at the walk to school day that we had at Carrboro Elementary. These kids are proud that Spring Valley walks to school, so they had some neighborhood pride there.
We could walk Spring Valley.
Yeah. So they look kind of tired. But we won't comment on the spelling of Valley. But so it also involves the action plan's recommendation also involves expanding the crossing guard program, and this is something that would be likely be the responsibility of the school district. So you can see here there are multi-jurisdictional recommendations in the plan, and also it involves law enforcement techniques such as ticketing, speed trailers, and so forth. And I know the police department has already been doing some of that with their pedestrian safety campaign that they had in 2010. And then finally, the last chapter of the plan recommends quick ways to begin implementing the plan, and it has a comprehensive table of recommendations. And key among these is establishing a Safe Routes to School implementation and advisory committee. That would be the shared responsibility of the school district and the town of Carrboro. The plan does recommend that it be mutually adopted by both the school district and the town of Carrboro. One of the natural outcomes of that would be a committee to work on implementation that would be a collaboration between the town and the school district. And so that kind of summarizes the plan. Of course, in your packets, you have three advisory board recommendations. Two should have been included in your packets, and the Greenways Commission just had a recommendation last night, so you should have received that at your places.
Yeah, what was the thrust of the Greenways Commission recommendation? Because I haven't looked at that yet.
The commission recommended endorsement of the plan, but he had some comments about expanding the plan or expanding future Safe Routes efforts. Yeah, I've got it here. In future Safe Routes to School planning, consider that other schools, Morris Grove Elementary School, Carrboro High School, and Elementary School 11, have been or soon will be added to Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools system and will benefit from Greenway access. And then it will be important to identify opportunities for collaboration with the town of Chapel Hill to develop safe routes, including greenways to schools that are located in the town of Chapel Hill but attended by Carrboro residents.
All right, good points. Very good then. Is there anybody who came to speak on this public hearing? I don't have anybody signed up, but all right. Oh yeah. Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Come on up, James.
It's been a few years. I'm James Zeta Bedford, member of the school board, and just want to say that we very much appreciate this plan and anything that we can work together to improve safe routes for children to walk or bike to school is just a win-win. So we're dividing and conquering because the county commissioners are having a hearing on the budget tonight, so others would have been here. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
All right, hope you have the same luck in Hillsboro. All right, are there any questions for the staff?
Yeah, Jeff, do you think that it makes sense for the advisory board to be created before the elements are prioritized for implementation? Is that kind of?
I think that would be up to the board as to the timing of creating the advisory committee for implementation and prioritizing the projects.
Okay.
The plan itself doesn't specifically prioritize the infrastructure projects. It's a simple list of projects.
Uh-huh.
Some of those projects are being moving forward already through separate processes. The Main Street Road Diet, Pine Street Sidewalk, for instance, and looking into traffic calming on Hillsborough Road. I think that would be a decision for the policy-making bodies, the board, Waldeman, and the school board, as to how best to sequence that.
Okay. Is there a recommendation for the composition of the advisory board? I don't recall seeing that.
Yes. Let me see if. It says that the lead agency would be, let me see if I can zoom in on this here.
Okay.
So the lead agency would be the Action Plan Steering Committee, and then the support would come from the Town of Carrboro, the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, NCDOT, and active parents and residents.
So it would be the existing steering committee would then continue in that function?
I think that would probably be up to the board and the school board as to who would compose that committee. I think in general, typically, you know, the board is the entity that appoints, that makes up the makeup of a committee.
So we have a resolution at some point later on?
We do, yeah, and I'm trying to get it, you know, where we want to. It has place to include particular next steps. Mm-hmm. And it seems like establishing that committee or advisory board is kind of key.
Well, but my point was bringing back a resolution establishing that committee.
Right, that's right, yeah. Right,
is what that is, the
yeah,
shape of that.
Exactly.
Okay. Sam?
I just wanted to comment, and I had a question. It was surprising to me to see how far below the national average we are for walking to school, and so I look forward to ramping it up, and I'm very excited about this plan for that reason.
Can I ask why that's surprising?
Because I've always thought we are very much attuned to
walking,
fitness and walking and bicycling.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, there are like tens of millions of kids who live in dense urban areas where they almost have to walk,
right,
or bike.
Right. I thought we were progressive enough that we would have been
anyway,
on par with those.
Because that's something that struck me.
We're progressive until the morning schedule hits you.
Right. That, you know, that struck me when I saw that chart, is that, you know, we don't really have the context for evaluating that. We don't know, like, what an average distance to school for the kids is in those, you know, nationally or even within Carrboro. So it makes it impossible to, from my perspective, to understand that comparison. But go on.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it was also interesting to see how it's changed over time, so that we certainly have diminished, given the radius for walkability and bikeability. We've dropped significantly since the 60s. So there's a huge opportunity for improvement, even given that we're very suburban. The other question was, what's the process for including other schools? I know we got an email asking about Frank Porter Graham, and then the Greenways Commission made that recommendation that we have future planning consider these other schools that are coming online.
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer that. So the very briefly, the process for selection of the schools, since folks may wonder why these two elementary schools and not others, the federal Safe Routes to School program only applies to grades K through 8, and the application was for this service award, which the town received, was submitted in January 2008. Morris Grove was not open until fall of 2008. And the application was specifically for the 1-2 schools category. So I don't think anybody would say that Safe Routes to School isn't important for, you know, those other schools. I think everybody would agree that needs to be looked at for other schools. It was just the logistics of the application for why these two schools were included and others weren't. I think, as it turns out, the town has a lot of non-Safe Routes to School projects that happen to be within the close vicinity of other schools, and serve to benefit the option of walking and bicycling to school for those schools. For instance, those schools that are within the town of Chapel Hill's limits but still are attended by kids who live in Carver.
Frank Porter, for example.
In this discussion leading up to this, or maybe in the discussions afterwards, I think it's important to consider the whole family, because one reason that kids don't walk to school is that you drop them off at school on your way to work, and it's quicker to drop them off at school on your way to work. So where I'm going with that is little things to look at, like, does the public transit system, is that schedule in sync with the school schedule. So if you're walking your kid to McDougal, does the bus come by at a time that would you wouldn't have to wait too long to get to the university? Mm-hmm. You know, so if we look at like the whole family transportation issues as we're considering it, because sometimes there are hidden barriers that nobody ever thought of, such as that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to pay attention to those as well.
That's a good point. And I know that the student travel tallies did include public transit separated from school buses as do you use this mode. I know the numbers are pretty small, but there certainly are some kids who you take the Chapel Hill Transit bus.
No, I'm thinking of the parents.
Oh, the parents, okay.
So if you live in the McDougal area and you want to walk your kid to school, but then you've got to get to the university or the hospital or meet up with the TTA, does the public transit bus that the parents will need, is that schedule in sync with when you would be dropping your kid off at school?
Got it.
So for it to be as convenient in as many ways as possible, I think.
So Jeff, is the Safe Routes to School still an active grant program? Meaning, do we have the opportunity to apply for future grants for the projects at the other schools?
I think we've heard that there may be another call for projects. But that's not guaranteed. Obviously, some of the funding for this program is dependent on congressional actions. So we're going to definitely wait and see and jump on any opportunity that comes out in terms of a Safe Routes call for projects.
Thanks.
Great. All right. Anything else?
Just very quickly, for the public's benefit, just wanted to contextualize the potential we have, because there's a lot of good information in here. But I found that the percentage of students living within 2 miles being 21%, and that in 1969, almost 90% of kids living within 1 mile of school walked or bicycled. And then looking at the national average, 1969.
That's Jackie's fault. You know, she was on the board through all the changes.
Yeah, I did that while I was in middle school. I got on the board.
Before Swan versus Mecklenburg.
That's right. Are you done? Mm-hmm. I know this was an awful lot of work, and it's one of your major projects. Thank you. It's a mm-hmm. really nice report, and it, as Sammy said, it gives us food for thought on other kinds of issues as well. So thanks for your work on this.
And if I could, I'd like to take a moment to thank the principals, Emily Bibbins and then Petrina Walk McDowell, the assistant principal at McDougal, as well as faculty and staff from their schools who really helped guide the plan, as and town staff as well too.
Thanks, Jeff.
So I would like to move the resolution, including the staff bring us back a resolution appointing the current steering committee as the ongoing.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. All those, item A2 is a public hearing on the PTA thrift shop conditional use permit.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, Jeff Cleveland.
This is very nice, yes.
Do you solemnly swear or